Time for our NHL Insider. Good morning, Elliot. What's happening?
You tell me.
Well, we're kicking tires and trying to light the fires, but I'm not sure anything's happening right now. What are you hearing?
About what?
About anything.
What are you hearing about anything, Elliot?
I don't know. I hear anything's a really good guy.
No, we're obviously trying to chase anything Bill Peters. I know today is the deadline. As you might expect, there's a lot of silence and some quiet out there.
Yeah, I think it probably gets done. I don't know if it'll be exactly the timeline that we're seeing right now, but my expectation is that it's going to get done, that he's going to be the coach in Calgary. I think he's kind of juggling between, getting ready for the World Championships where he's coaching Team Canada and negotiating this. I don't think, Calgary's the only team that's asked for permission to talk to him. But I do think that I think he's very interested. I think you're very interested. And I think it gets done. It just, might be a bit of a process. That's all.
Is he good?
I think he's a pretty good coach. The one knock is, the people who said, hey, why are the people who are saying, look, Gullitson got you to one playoff and Peters hasn't gotten Carolina to any. I think Tree Living knows him. He worked with him at the Worlds. I think the one thing, I've asked a couple people about that. I said, how do you feel about the fact he hasn't made the playoffs? And, a couple of guys said to me, when you're in that division and you're constantly spending, $10 to $20 million less than everybody else, you can't compete. And, I think Carolina was a team that was right on the cusp of being there a couple times, and they didn't have the staying power. And, one of the reasons you don't have the staying power is you're spending $10 to $15 million less than everybody else per year. And that's Pittsburgh, and that's Washington, and it's the Rangers, and it's Philadelphia, and even Columbus has become a cap team. And it is difficult to compete when you're constantly spending less than everyone else. But the one thing about him that's interesting is he's really blunt. And sometimes when you're really blunt in a Canadian city, that can cause you problems. So I'm sure there will be talk about how much you can say and how often you can say it. But other than that, I think it's fine.
So what happens if today passes and we don't have news? What does that mean?
I think there's a little bit of a, what's
cat and mouse?
Yeah, a game of chicken going on here. I do think Carolina wants to move on too. Look, it's sort of like dating. You see the person you're dating is interested in someone else. Do you stay there or do you say, if you're not interested in me, I'm not interested in you either. So I do think there's something to that. I think Carolina wants to move on too, but I'm sure they don't want to pay him, whatever it is. He's due 1.6, but, if his first year in Calgary is less than that, he's going to be on the hook for what they're going to be on the hook for whatever number. So I think Carolina wants to move on, but I think there's something to be said for, let's wait until this works out so we don't have to pay as much as we are on the hook for.
And it is because we've talked about this. I don't know, because it seems clear. Dundon, also very blunt, really has not come out and said, oh, I hope Bill stays. If anything, he's talked about, Bill wants to go. We've got options. I don't even know if I want Bill. I'm paraphrasing. And like you said, whenever your coach starts getting wooed by other teams and is searching out options, it's like, well, you don't want to be here, so what are we doing? What makes him a fit for Calgary, if indeed that's how it shakes down?
Well, I think what makes him a fit is that the general manager has some experience with him, likes him, he knows him a little bit. I think that's always better if you're going to make a change, better somebody you know than somebody you don't. Especially he knows Gullitson. So, I always feel this, like if you're gonna make a change, try to go with the most known quantity, and he would be a known quantity to your general manager. There are people who think he's a really good coach. And you know what? I think it'll be interesting. Like, I've heard a number of players have reached out to Gullitson saying, you know, how much they really like playing for him. Well, they didn't deliver. Like, you know, Gullitson takes the blame because his name's on it and he's the guy who's getting let go. But he was let down by some of those players. And I think what they feel is that this team needs a bit of a kick. I've heard Tree Living say it several times. It's not like they don't think that they care. It's just that they need a bit of a kick. And this is a guy who is not afraid to give you a bit of a kick.
What would you say to the people? Because we're getting a lot of it. Alain Vigneault is out there. Dave Tippett is out there. There are some guys with tenure and success out there.
Maybe Trotz?
Yep.
Maybe, yeah, if things don't go well in Washington, maybe Trotz becomes available.
Lindy Ruff.
Why? How is this different than Gullitson? It's a guy who is a young, in terms of experience in the NHL, head coach, has experience outside, but has had very little in the way of success or experience at the NHL level.
Yep. You know, like I said, I think that he'll go with the guy he knows. Like, you know, Tree Living has, what, 3 more years under contract, and this will be his third coach. And, you know, I think you reach a point as a general manager where you know that, you know, you have to get it right. And I think that, you know, what's the best gamble you can make? The best gamble you can make is somebody you know. And that I do believe that. If you're going to go down with the guy you know. And I think that's exactly what, you know, he's going to do. You know, I don't think this was easy for him. I think it was a tough call. I think there was I wonder if Peters was not available. And I think, you know, Peters is a guy who wants to move on from Carolina too. If Peters was not available, would the coaching change have happened? I'm not convinced it would have. And so I think that's kind of the situation you've got here. And that is that, you know, this is a guy that the general manager has some history with and is comfortable with, and he's going to bet on that. You know, a lot of those other guys you mentioned, he doesn't have a history with, so you're taking even more of a gamble. Tippett, he does have a history with. You know, Maloney is there too, and Tippett and Maloney didn't end well in Arizona. I wonder if that's a factor. But, you know, I think it comes down to, again, as like I said a couple of times, you go with the guy you know and the guy you believe in.
Well, I mean, I think that there seems to be a bit of a fear in this market that, oh, look, here they go again with a greener, not top-of-the-crop elite coach, which they really haven't gone out and got since what?
You know,
Sutter coming from New Jersey?
Like, I understand that, and, you know, hey, you know, you take your chance and you make your decision based on the best information you can. And you remember when Dean Lombardi hired Daryl Sutter in L.A., everybody ripped him, and they won 2 cups. And Daryl had a lot more experience at that point in time, which is true. But it reminded me that you have to make your call. When you're the general manager, you are hired to make that call. And you can't worry about what other people think. You have to take all the information. You have to say, this is what I have. This is what I can do. This is why I believe it's the best choice that we have to make. And I'm laying myself on the line for it.
Yeah.
And if I owned a team, that's what I want for my general manager. I don't like people who say, oh, well, we had this style of coach before. Now we've got to do this style of coach, or we need an experienced guy. No, you say, this is the guy who I think is the best guy, and this is why I'm going with him. And you put your neck on the line too. That's what a general manager should do. And that's what Tree Living is going to do here. He made the call. He thinks this guy's the right guy. Time will tell, but I believe that's what a GM should do. It's your choice. You make the call. You make the best call you think you can, and then you live with what happens, and that's the way I believe it should be done. You know, in this day and age, Ryan, there's so much opinion out there. You know, it's social media, everything. Everybody's got a voice, and if you listen to all those voices, you're going to paralyze yourself. you make the call, and you live with the call.
We'll cease with the interrogation on this. He's fine. Elliot Friedman.
Like, you know, yeah. Keep going. I mean, I'm not going to change my opinion.
No, and you know what? I everything I hear and that we hear is pointing in the same direction, that it seems like there's an appetite on both sides for Calgary and Bill Peters to hook up. What's going to happen now in Los Angeles and Anaheim?
L.A., that's probably going to be more of a player kind of thing. You know, I think LA is really in a transition phase anyway. You know, I don't see the coach being in any trouble. They just have a new GM. You know, they got to get Doughty signed, and the belief is, you know, I think he wants to stay. I think they will. They know that it's going to cost them, and I think they're prepared to pay the price. He can be extended on July 1st, but I think, you know, Vegas made them look slow, and that's one thing they're going to have to do is they're going to have to continue to get younger and quicker. Anaheim is a really interesting one. You know, that was a nightmare of a playoff series, and it's not only that they lost, because anyone can lose, it's how they lost. They became unglued. You know, the end of game three, you're losing 8-1, and Kessler and Perry and Getzlaff are sitting in the penalty box. Like, you know, I think they're going to make some changes, I think. You know, the one thing is that I was interested when Bob, because Bob Murray's a pretty aggressive guy, and at the deadline, he did nothing, or made one small deal, Wagner for Chimera, if I remember correctly. That said to me that he didn't think his team was good enough. Because if Bob Murray thinks his team is good enough, he goes for it. So I wonder if they've kind of been preparing for this. I would expect they're going to make changes. You know, I think there's a couple of really interesting ones there. I mean, you know, I'd be surprised if Murray was out. I got to think they're thinking coaching. I also got to think they're, you know, in goal, John Gibson, he's a really talented guy. He gets hurt a lot. That's a tough one. And, you know, I wonder about Corey Perry. You know, would Perry and them have, he's got a no-move clause. He controls the situation. But I wonder if they would ever consider it. I mean, he might need a fresh start. He doesn't look great. He was not making great decisions at all in the playoffs. He was taking terrible penalties. I don't know. They've got to free up some space and maybe start a little fresh. I kind of wonder if, like, I'm not trading Getzlaff, and I think Kessler needs to heal his body, but I got to wonder if they would talk about Corey Perry at all.
It's interesting. It's hard to imagine one without the other just because they've been together since that. I mean, that's an incredible draft.
I'd like to imagine Corey Perry resurrected in Calgary playing alongside Gaudreau and Monahan. You'd be okay with that?
I got to tell you, I mean, that's one of the places where it could probably work. I mean, it's a big ticket. It's 8.25 for the next 3 years.
Could they eat some, though?
Yeah, they could.
Why not?
Absolutely. And they probably would have to unless, you know, you're doing something.
Unless there's something else there. Way. Yeah.
But, yes, I think there's something to that. I mean, you know, for number one, would Perry want to go there? That's the first question you got to answer. But you know what? Yeah, I mean, you know, he's going to have to play. Like, I'm watching Paul Stastny in Winnipeg, and Paul Stastny's not the fastest guy in the world. But when you have him on the ice with Ehlers and Laine, you know what? He looks pretty good. And he's a smart player. You know, Corey Perry, if he's playing with faster, quicker guys, probably helps him.
Anything on Tavares in terms of we're getting closer to a theoretical decision there?
You know, Ryan, I haven't heard much. It's a good question. It's worth asking. But in terms of any finality or anything like that, nothing yet. I mean, I do think, you know, that one of the things the Islanders have decided is that they're doing a full review. I mean, I don't know if Garcinoe's in any trouble or anything like that, but if Tavares suddenly wakes up tomorrow and says, I'm coming back, I can't imagine any of these guys are in trouble. They do what they set out to do.
Last one, and again, I guess self-serving, and I'll dip my toe into both.
That's what this is.
Yeah, I know. It's just a scatter. Alain Vigneault, why would he not be a fit in Calgary? Because again, a very good coach, and we've heard next to nothing on him and Calgary. And B, Ryan O'Reilly is a name that we've heard a fair bit, as obviously yeah. Buffalo is looking to retool, and it feels like Calgary might be a good spot if you can go Monahan, O'Reilly, Backlund. That's
not bad.
It's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, what's it going to cost you?
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a lot. You know, centers are hard to find. Like, if I'm Montreal, I'm doing everything I can to get Ryan O'Reilly, but, you know, what do you have to give up? It's not going to be cheap. Centers are, even with his contract, which is a little different, it's kind of bonus heavy. You know, Calgary can handle that. I mean, it's still going to cost you a lot to get him. So, I mean, yes, I would be interested, but at what price? You know, again, Vigneault, it's what I said before. It's nothing against Vigneault. I agree with you. I think he's a good coach. It went sideways at the end of the Rangers, but, you know, that happens sometimes. I just think that, again, this is a situation where it's not anti-Vigneault or anti-anyone else. It's that there's a history between the GM and this coach, and that's the decision you make. You go with the guy you know best if you can. And again, I don't think it's got anything to do with being down on Vigneault or anything like that. I think it's simply that this GM has seen this coach before and he likes what he sees and he thinks he can help him. And that's the choice he's going to make.
Anything else making news where you are?
Yeah, not so much. It's weird. Like the first round is normally one of the best things of the year. This one's been a little weaker than normal. And, you know, I'm really curious about, you know, this Winnipeg-Nashville series, if they both close it out, that's going to be something else, guys. And the winner of that one, you know, to me, I never vote against Pittsburgh. I just don't vote against those guys. I don't pick against Crosby. I don't bet against those guys because they've proved to us that you do that at your own peril. But I'll tell you, whichever one of those two teams wins that Winnipeg-Nashville series, should they both close out? And this Vegas thing, I mean, I can't decide if it's good or bad if Vegas makes the Stanley Cup final in their first year. Is that good because it's a great story? Is it bad because it shouldn't happen? It's amazing.
It's both, and it's going to be crippling for them moving forward because as fans and expectations, yeah. It's like, oh, well, I guess we just
yeah.
go to the Stanley Cup Finals.
I guess we do this every
yeah,
year.
Yeah, this is how this goes, right?
It's
yeah.
supposed to happen.
It's interesting. Like, I was talking to someone about it, and they're like, this year, you know, everybody's on the same page. They're kind of free of jealousy. The business doesn't rear its head. And then, you know, after this year, you have to start signing. Well, they started signing a couple. They signed McNabb, and they signed Marchessault. But they're dealing with Carlson over it. Now the business comes in. Mm-hmm. Oh, this guy got paid. This guy didn't get paid. And that's not happening right now. It'll happen after the season. But, you know, it's interesting. Like, you go from the pure first year to now the really hard decisions have to be made. How does that affect an organization?
How sick are you of your coworkers? Like, you've got to be...
Every good. Night. Like, every, Rudy's got to be driving you up the wall.
It, like, depends. On a scale of 1 to 10... Kelly 16, Nick 4, you know, that's the Kelly, you know, Kelly's drive. He's off the charts. He yeah. drives you nuts.
Not surprised.
We can't even look at each other anymore.
Yeah, not surprising. That would be yeah. the one.
Yeah, that's
selfish guy.
Yeah.
You know, eats all the snacks. Yeah. Always has to get in the dinner line first. Nobody can eat until Kelly eats.
Yeah, that's
you know, it's tough. Like, you know, big star.
That runs with everything we know of him here, too, mm-hmm. so that's good.
That's right.
Hey, man, thank you. We'll talk to you in a week. Enjoy it.
All right, take care, guys.